Hi, and welcome to the first edition of the Sustainable Leader Workshop. I'm very pleased to be hosting this workshop. My name is Tendert, and I am co-hosted by.
Jan Bart Brokhuis, I'm also very pleased to be here. Thank you.
Great. And the aim of this podcast is to give some further context and understanding of what we believe is important when it comes to sustainability and leadership. Some of the insights that Jan Bart and myself have developed over the years when it comes to leadership, the workshop that we have put together, and how this may benefit you. But let's first go back maybe to the why of this workshop, the why of this new leadership model, and where it all started. Maybe Jan Bart, what's your earliest memory on of our kind of common journey here?
Yeah, well, what I very much come across is that many of the sustainability discussions is that people focus exclusively on the decline. It's people worry about climate change, and rightfully so. We have issues with biodiversity loss. There's pollution. There's inequality. And what I see so often, for example, also on LinkedIn, is that people tend to stay in a kind of paralysis. And what I found most hopeful in the workshops that we've done so far in the Sustainable Leader Workshop is that people start to regain their control. They get back into taking back the steering wheel. And so instead of staying in paralysis, we get to some new space where there's more energy and more action, because that's what we ultimately need, right, Sander?
Yeah, no, absolutely. And I'd like to build a bit on your point in reference to sustainability and all the the negative news that you hear all around, which is here and which is real, and that's a direct consequence of some of the human mankind's actions. But I'm also very much with you that there is a lot of space for us to improve, that there's a lot of solutions in place. In fact, we have often talked about that. All the solutions are pretty much in place. And if you see, once we put our energy behind it, how fast we can move in the right directions. But it requires leadership, and that's also the central part, the central topic of this discussion. It requires leadership to stay true to the beliefs that you have, to not, let's say, overtrade the short term for the longer term, and to have that integrity basically for the long term and the future generations. So, and you can see it actually can work. We have exchanged on a few occasions, both in business but also in politics. You've seen some very powerful examples of how leaders, when they develop a vision, a point of view for the long term, and they stick to it, how that can change. Maybe Jan Bart, I think one that really stayed with me is this example of Denmark and how they have developed organic food as a more mainstream solution. Can you elaborate maybe a bit on that one?
Yeah, but if you walk in a supermarket today in Denmark, organic food feels normal. It's not something like a niche or something alternative or something that you have to pay a lot of extra money for, or that you really have to make a conscious choice. All these things have been made easy. So it's kind of and it's but it didn't happen accidentally. Successive leaders across government, farming, retail, and civil society made deliberate choices. So there were organic regulations, farmers were supported, and there is also trusted certification systems. So when there's some kind of concerted action of both business and government and consumers, of course, then it becomes easier. So today, Denmark has the highest organic retail market share globally, around 12% of food sales, and that really makes a difference. If in all the developed countries, or let's say between brackets, developed, then that would really make a huge difference on the climate impact of our diets.
Yeah, absolutely. And in fact, as you rightfully so said, it's a kind of an interplay between different actors in the system. We come back to that in a moment, the system thinking. And they started already in the with this initiative back in 1987. So for multiple decades and superseding multiple governments, they have co kept course on one and the same principle and belief. And of course, they also faced hiccups, they also faced short-term tensions, but they kind of did stick to it. And then you see that there's a result. The same is true when we talk about Costa Rica, where Again, there was a huge loss of the forest, and we know how important that is. But at some point in time, the government has said, and worked with many actors in the value chain, we need to change it. We need to reverse this loss of the forest. And now they have gone back
Yeah, it's kind of 60% of the country.
to at least more efficient story, which they.
Yeah.
Yeah, correct. Yeah,
Yeah,
correct. So I think that those things show to me that things are possible. They take a little bit of time. They need time. Yeah, that's basically what we need. But then again, our question is, of course, was at the time when we started this initiative, why does this not happen then everywhere if it sounds so common sense? So can you maybe bring the listeners back a little bit to the start of our journey, Jan Bart, the start of the model around sustainable leadership.
What we discovered is that sometimes very hard to look beyond your quarterly results, or look beyond your single-minded objectives. And it's very clear, people in organizations and companies, they work with scorecards, and these scorecards are for, of course, important guidance, but they don't help you to look beyond, to look at the longer term. And what we found in some companies, even a company with very much a healthy food mission, people were stuck, and stuck in the middle between their bosses asking for short-term results, whereas they would maybe think of better and healthier options for the planet. But that's this tension where you're in that is sometimes in a deadlock. And I've been a marketeer myself, and I know how important it is that somebody puts you under pressure in the organization. You have to deliver in this number or that number, but at the same time, you want to do something good. Now, what was helping is to support people to expand their view a bit, and we were educated ourselves, Standard and me, in a workshop by some biologists and looking at nature and natural intelligence, and see how you could go beyond the standard thinking. And it was truly mind and eye-opening to me as well. Like, hey, I can look at my business problem from a wider perspective. How could my business issue be looked at from different levels? And one of the interesting levels, also in nature, is the regenerative level. Regenerative is the most sustainable that there is, because it creates more health and wealth for the entire system. Interestingly, this company that we work with also is looking for ways to be more active with their ecosystems, so the suppliers, the people that live near the suppliers, for example, raw materials from South America or Europe, where people are encouraged to look at better solutions, and to maybe make choices in how far you get your raw materials, and how the people in those communities are being treated and earn their living. These are ecosystems, part of your total decision. So you start looking at things from a larger perspective, with all the ecosystems that you're in working together. And interestingly, some of the solutions are better for the health and wealth of the entire system. So maybe this sounds a little bit abstract, but we looked at very concrete business topics and encouraged the people to think broader and wider than they usually did. And people really gave back to us how much it supported their thinking.
And before I dive together with you a bit deeper in the model, just coming back to your earlier point, and that really resonated with me, which is the short-term pressures that you face. I've also spent the last 20 years in various boardrooms, even in my active roles as head of HR, head of sustainability, and there's a lot of volatility coming your way in the boardroom in any running business. A lot of legislation, a lot of climate disasters, a lot of other wars and other related matters, and we can all relate to that. And they all urge you to take a lot of decisions every single day that impact your operations, even on a daily basis. And there's large sums of money involved in that. And that indeed sometimes creates a situation where you're just battling the next disaster, the next issue, the next crisis moment, which is fair. That is the reality, and you have to deal with that. But if you want to also, let's say, build a resilient company for the longer term, for the future generations, you also sometimes need to take a step back and reflect, indeed, to your point, on the wider system. So, how is my product made? How is my service made? Who do I impact in the system? What are the other stakeholders? And if I take this decision, what effect will it have on the other actors in the system? That is relevant to ask yourself every now and then, because you need to be aware of what your identity is, aware of what is your possible impact to this world, both in a positive and negative way, and how do you offset or mitigate that, or how do you contribute even better? Yeah, and that kind of creating that awareness, I think, is a leadership skill that is not being thought in the regular business university or in your regular MBA. I think more recently there starts to become a little bit more sensitivity on this. There's some universities that start to, let's say, play around a little bit more on this. But for most of the managers that are now in leading positions in companies, they have not been exposed to much of this kind of leadership skill, this kind of system thinking, and taking a more longer term perspective on matters in the context of that system thinking. And that's where we started, indeed. And indeed, also credits a shout out to Elaine Gerritsen, who was the trainer on our first regenerative leadership. That's where it started for us. And we've taken inspiration and positive energy from that. And we built our own models and our own approach after that, and tested and trialed that, obviously, with more than 10 executive teams across Europe. And it has been a fascinating journey so far.
It has been fun as well, and what I really appreciated is that not only offering those ways of thinking, those models, but we also did things for the mind. So we included elements like immersion in nature, and that we were guided by someone who knew the forest very well about a lot of aspects, how nature reinforces itself all the time. And nourishes, and for example, oak trees who deliver so much abundance to other species around them. So we try to not be exactly as the oak tree, but it's an interesting example how businesses can be delivering more than they need themselves to thrive in an ecosystem, because others will thrive as well. And it's a big journey to go from our mindset of value extraction towards this regeneration thinking. But nature certainly helped us. And what we also did were exercises that I, as a leadership coach, think are very important to kind of reopen the mind. Because when you're sitting in an office or behind a screen all day, your mind also kind of narrows down. So we help to expand them and look broader and wider, and some exercises on a yoga mat, or being having a walk and use your senses in nature. That was truly a breakthrough experience for people.
Although I would say, anyone listening to this podcast or checking out our website, obviously, and that includes myself, when I just started on this journey, being on the yoga mat was not my primary concern.
Really standard.
Exactly. I know you know our partnership on this, Jan Bart. Jan Bart is really fabulous in all these exercises, and I need them for that. I of course, on a daily business, doing more the, let's say, the regular corporate stuff, huh? But it indeed it has its power to have a combination of activities in such a workshop. So I would say, someone listening to this podcast may wonder, what is exactly is you're going to do in this? In this workshop around sustainable leadership. And obviously, we're not going to give everything away, because you also need to just experience it. But we really worked on a proposition where you also touch the hard stuff, the hard content, the real business issues. So we found a way to model the system thinking in such a way they can apply it to a daily business issue or a strategic challenge that you have. And with support of this model, you can actually work through your issue and appreciate the wider impact on the ecosystem, and find ways to further improve the health and the wealth of the system, as you mentioned before. But around that, we found ways to also touch upon other elements, and maybe you want to elaborate on that a bit further, Jan Bart. On, yeah, it's not only about the hard stuff. You also need to sometimes have some moments to reflect on your own leadership, your own impact, and how you want to show up and contribute to this world,
Exactly.
right?
And
Yeah.
what I was really touched by is maybe also a bit unexpectedly, but we saw people who made difficult choices before the benefits were visible. We saw
Yeah.
leaders willing to absorb short-term discomfort in pursuit of long-term value. We saw leaders acting on behalf of people who weren't yet in the room. So thinking ahead of generations, thinking ahead of the farmers who were supplying the raw materials, thinking ahead of the health of consumers. So it was truly a remarkable experience to see this leadership growth with a much larger scope. And that's
Yeah.
exactly why we started exploring this different leadership model.
Yeah. No, that's perfect. So I think maybe that's a nice cliffhanger for those listening in to this short initial podcast. What we try to do is to explain you a little bit our why and why we think it's important to do this, but also a little bit of an outline of what you may expect over this kind of 2-day immersion. But obviously, we're more than happy to talk to anyone to convey our enthusiasm and some further insights, right, Jan? But any final messages you want to give to the listeners? Any final points?
Thank you. It's been truly a journey. And the question that eventually led to the sustainable leader wasn't how do we make organizations more sustainable? Because you might think that. But in the end, it was more like what kind of leaders consistently create outcomes that future generations would benefit from? And because history shows that leadership matters. And the example of Denmark didn't happen by accident. Costa Rica didn't happen by accident, but every thriving ecosystem, every positive long-term legacy can ultimately be traced back to leaders who chose to think beyond themselves. And that was something truly inspiring to ourselves as well. So,
Yeah, you would almost say, Jan Bart, and that would be it, my final reflection, is
yeah.
that we're not here to build 250 new competencies. We have already very equipped and well-educated business leaders, often with good business strategies and so forth.
Exactly.
We created this whole journey and this momentum because we increasingly see leaders who being asked to solve very complex problems, inclusive of very significant climate challenges, that the original traditional leadership models were never designed for. Most leadership frameworks were built for optimizations, but today you need leaders that are able to navigate interconnected systems. They need to understand much more the long-term consequences of some of their decisions, and they need to balance all of the different stakeholder needs. And I think that is the key thing. If you start to learn and understand how to do that, you can really be a force for good in no matter what kind of industry or business you work in. And I think that is really what I think motivates most both of us. So I'm really looking forward to getting in touch with all of you out there who are listening and thinking, yes, this is something I want to learn more about and get myself into.
So please feel welcome to our Sustainable Leader Workshop, but also to reach out to learn more. Thank you very much for your attention, and it's a pleasure to
Thank you.
host this together with you, Stenner. Thank you.
Thank you, Jan Bart.